this morning our text comes to us from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. Jumping back to the Gospel of Mark. And we will be reading verses 35 through 41. So Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 35. People of God, this is God's very word. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And there ends the reading of God's word this morning. Well, as we continue our study in the Gospel of Mark, we enter into a new section of the narrative. Though we're still in chapter 4, we're moving from the teaching, from Jesus' teaching in parables now, to seeing Jesus perform miracles. This doesn't mean we're going to stop seeing parables throughout the Gospel. You see parables, they come and go. But the focus has shifted. For the time being, in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus will continue to teach in parables throughout his ministry, but now for just a little bit, Mark gives us a glimpse of who Jesus is. A glimpse of glory. Now, we go from Jesus teaching us about the kingdom of God. Remember, the kingdom of God is like. That's how he would start the parables. The kingdom of God is like. But now Jesus shows us the power behind the kingdom in real life. You know, we never want to forget what Mark is trying to do in his gospel. Right? We never want to forget that Mark is trying to show his audience. We never want to forget the task at hand. Who is Jesus? That's what Mark wants you to ask yourself. He wants you to know by the end of his gospel, who is Jesus? Right? Who do you say that I am? The question that Jesus asks. Is Jesus just a good storyteller? Is he crazy? Remember, we looked at that a few weeks back, where his family had enough of Jesus going around saying crazy things, and they were literally going to physically take him back to Nazareth. They were going to take him home. You know, the gospel writer, Mark, this morning, is going to show us the disciples asking themselves this very question. Who is this man? In a few weeks, in the next few weeks, Lord willing, we're going to see three stories. We're going to see this morning the stilling of the storm. Lord willing, next week, we'll see the restoration of a demon-possessed man. And then the week after that, Jesus' power over disease and death. In all three of these, Jesus is showing all who would pay attention who he is. Who is he? We know. The long-awaited Messiah. He's the Son of God. But just as in the parables, remember what Jesus kept saying in the parables? He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. And then we saw that people were listening, but they weren't hearing. And now he's going to do these miracles. And he's going to see who's really paying attention. Right? Who really sees what's going on? So we enter into our text this morning. And the question is, are we paying attention? When the Lord does things in our lives today, are we oblivious to the Lord's doing? Or do we truly know that it's the Lord who watches over us? That it's the Lord who leads? That truly Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we have nothing to worry about? Do the storms in our lives show that we have faith? Or do they show that we're faithless? Think about it. We all go through storms. But do they show that we have faith? Or do they show that we're faithless? We're going to have 3 points this morning in our sermon. The first point is Jesus leads. The second point is Jesus tests. And the last one is Jesus reveals his glory. So Jesus leads, Jesus tests, and Jesus reveals his glory. Because, beloved, if we know who leads, and if we know who tests, when we do make it to the end, what a beautiful sight it's going to be to behold the glory of our Lord. Well, let's get to our text this morning. The first words that we see are, on the same day when evening had come. So if you look back, we can see that Jesus has had a long day of teaching the crowds and the disciples about the kingdom of God. You can just turn the page over and see where this teaching began. The very beginning of chapter 4, we read this. And again, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. That's the beginning of chapter 4. Now we get to the end of chapter 4, and he's still at the Sea of Galilee, and he's still in the boat. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." And one thing that we could see as we read through chapter 4 is how detailed Mark is in his retelling of the story. It's almost like he had an eyewitness there with him. And you should be thinking, yes, he does. The Apostle Peter. Right? Peter is telling Mark these things. Peter is giving Mark these little tidbits that none of the other Gospels have about this story. You know, this story is in all synoptic Gospels. It's in Matthew, it's in Mark, it's in Luke. But Mark tells us these little things, like he was still in the boat. Another little thing, and he was asleep on a pillow. He shows us that there's other boats with him. So we know there's an eyewitness there. We can tell Peter's telling us this story. Just little details. Verse 36, and when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. So we see that Jesus never left the boat. He was still in the boat. They just kind of shoved off the boat with Jesus in it as they moved on to the other side. I love that. They took him as he was. And we get a glimpse here of being more than 12 disciples, little boats. You know, they found, during archaeology, they found the size of a fishing boat in the first century. And it wasn't little. It was 27 feet long. So we know that there's other boats, little boats, going along with Jesus across this lake. And Jesus has been teaching all day. And he decides, you know what? Let's move. Let's go. The gospel needs to go out. And we see this in Mark. We're only at the end of chapter 4. But we've seen Mark tell us this before. Listen to this. This is Jesus' point of being with us. Let us go to the next towns, that we may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. What purpose? To bring the good news. There are others who need to hear it. Jesus knows that, and he's teaching the disciples this. He said, let's go. We can't stop. We've got to keep preaching. So Jesus wants to go to the other side of the lake. And the disciples don't even question. They're like, all right, let's go. Evening has come. Sun's going down. So there they go. They obey Jesus. But little did they know what was about to happen to them. How is this trip going to turn out? Not like they expected. And this trip should be easy for them, right? We all know who most of the disciples are. They're fishermen. They live on this lake. This is what they do. And the Sea of Galilee really isn't that big. At its most widest spot, it's only 13 miles. And it's only 8 miles in length. Shaped like a teardrop. And they're only going in the top half. This is what they did every day. This should be easy. They probably thought, yeah, let's go. This won't take very long. And you see, it's easy to follow Jesus' commands when you think it's going to be easy. Right? When Jesus says, let's go, and you're thinking about it, like, yeah, we could do that. You just get up and do it. But what happens when Jesus himself is leading you into a storm? Maybe the weather was nice when they left. What if there would have been clouds on the horizon? Would they have warned Jesus? Well, maybe we shouldn't go. Have you ever been in that situation? When the Lord says go, and you're like, ooh, I don't know. I don't know. It might be dangerous, Jesus. Verse 37. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. You know, we should stop and think, how many of us think the Christian life should be easy? How many of us in this room think the Christian life should be carefree? And I would say, most of us live in reality and we know it's not. Contrary to what a lot of Christians believe out there, Jesus isn't here to solve all of our problems. You know, sometimes it's Jesus himself leading us into the storm. Think about that. Jesus himself leading you into the trial. See, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray, lead us not into temptation. We don't pray, lead us not into the trial. We don't pray, lead us not into the storm. Right? This is what we're going to talk about tonight in our evening service. So I expect you all to be back. It's going to be good. But the idea here is what do we do when it's Jesus himself leading us right into the storm? The Apostle Peter, in his first letter, writes this: Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. It's not strange that you're in a trial. Think of all the times in Scripture when you're reading through the Old Testament. We're just being obedient to the call of the Lord. You knew good things were not going to happen. You knew it. But what do we need to remember? In all of it, the Lord is leading. Over and over again, when you read through the Old Testament and the covenant people of God, what did he say? I'll be with you. He never says, it's going to be easy. He says, I'll be with you. Through every storm, I'll be with you. they're about to leave Egypt. It's okay, I'll lead. When they're going to enter the promised land, it's okay, I'll be with you. Right, when they're going to go to war with nations bigger than them, it's going to be okay. I'll be with you. He never says it's going to be easy. Have you ever read through the book Jeremiah? This is Jeremiah's life. God said, do this. And Jeremiah said, okay. And Jeremiah knew it was going to be tough. Knew the storm was right there. See, he knew it wasn't going to be easy, but he knew the Lord was leading. So he went. Think about our disciples this morning. Let's see how the disciples are going to handle when things don't go as planned. Which leads us to point two, Jesus tests. Going back to verse 37, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Now I want us to hold on to that word great, because we're going to see it come back in a moment. This great storm arose, waters coming over the sides of the boats. And when we get to verse 38, you have to love this verse. Verse 38. But he, Jesus, was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. You think about this story. Right? There's master fishermen in this boat. People who spent their lives on this water. They've probably been through a storm or two. Just saying. And then you see Jesus, the carpenter, asleep on a pillow. Not a fisherman. See, I don't know about you, but like, if you're like me, I get seasick. If it's just a little wave, I'm like, oh boy. Right? I've been on tuna trips. I've been on salmon trips. And if the water isn't nice, I'm a goner. I'm feeding the fish. It's not good. And you think about Jesus. He's probably never been in a storm on a boat before. Yeah, here he is, asleep. Of course he's tired. He preached all day. All day. But if this storm is big enough to scare fishermen, you would think it would have woken Jesus up. No. There he is asleep. Why? Why? Maybe he really is just tired. Maybe he wants to show these men who he really is. Right? Did Jesus know the storm was going to happen? Well, in his divinity, you're like, of course, he's God. He knows the end from the beginning. Right. What about in his humanity? Did he purposely go because he knew the storm was going to happen? To teach a lesson to his disciples? Or is he just the master teacher? And when things arise, he knows that every moment is a teaching moment. And he uses it. See, the text doesn't tell us why or how or did Jesus know. But Jesus wasn't going to let this opportunity go. He wasn't going to let it pass not to teach a lesson to these disciples. And I hope that's for us this morning. I hope we, when the storms come, that Jesus uses them in our lives to show us Him. Right? That's the thing in these storms, when trials come. If you don't know Jesus better at the end, something's wrong. So the test has begun. And how do the disciples respond? Not like you would have hoped. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Ouch. Looks like they failed the test. Two things I want to point out. Two things I want to point out. Why they failed this test. The first is, the disciples doubted that Jesus cared for them. they truly had lost faith, not only in his care for them, but ultimately his love. See, what kind of question did they ask? Do you really care? You're like, wait, really? Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? You're like, oh. And sadly, beloved, we've been there, haven't we? We've been there. When life spins out of control, our first inclination is to scream out, why are you not here? Don't you see what's going on, Jesus? Where are you? Do you not care? How many of us have done it? Do something, Jesus. We cry out. Jesus, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? It must have been a dagger to his heart. Do you not even? Of course he cares. Why do you think he's in the world? Why do you think he's going through all the things he does? Think about it. A sinless man living in a sinful world, having to go through the sufferings every day of that. Why do you think he went to the cross? Like, how can you say, do you care? Why is he even in the boat if he doesn't care? He cares. And I want us to stop and remember this when we feel like we want to shout out, where are you, Jesus? Why do we have to go through this? Of course he cares. Those men in the storm were not quite where they should have been in their faith. That's the truth. Where are we in our faith? How much more do we know than them, to them at this time? And yet we'll still cry out the same thing. See, they let the storm, the test, put a wedge between them and a loving Savior. They did. A caring Savior. Now going back to us, we do this in so many ways. When storms put our faith to the test. See, I don't think we doubt his love. I don't think we doubt his love. I think we take our eyes off the one who not only leads us into the storm, but is the one who will lead us to the other side. See, we drop our gaze, and that's when we shout out, do you not care? At that brief moment, we lose faith. Because here's the second thing in which they failed the test. They failed to trust Jesus' words. They did. Remember back to verse 35. He said to them, let us cross over to the other side. They found themselves in the middle of a storm. And remember, these men have fished this lake forever. And they were afraid they were going to die. But they didn't remember what Jesus said. And one pastor wrote this. They allowed the voice of the storm to silence the voice of the Lord. How many of us have done that in our lives? They allowed the voice of the storm to silence the voice of the Lord. And that is why you fail. So let's move on to point three. Jesus reveals his glory. So we had Jesus leads, Jesus tests, and now Jesus is going to reveal his glory. See, now that Jesus knows where their hearts are at, he knows. He heard the question. Now it's time to end the test and give out the grades. And I'm not sure anybody's going to get a passing grade here. Verse 39. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Jesus literally tells the sea, "That's enough. It's over." And it obeys him. Now, and see, now in the Jewish mind, these men on this boat, there's only one who could do that. Yahweh. That's it. Nobody else could do that. The Creator God. In the Old Testament, it was God who could calm the chaos of the sea. Listen to this from Psalm 107. It might sound a little familiar. Psalm 107, verse 23. "Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and rises the storms of the wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distress. He calms the storm so that its waves are stilled." That's Psalm 107. That's our story. See, these are the things that would have jumped in their minds the moment Jesus didn't yell at the disciples at this point. He looks to the water and says, "Peace, be still," and it's just calm. And their minds would have just jumped. There's more texts like this throughout the Old Testament about God calming the raging sea, God calming the waves. Going back to our text, the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Remember, there was a great wind, and now there's a great calm. For a brief moment, the disciples got a glimpse of the power of the Creator, a glimpse of his majesty, of his glory. They witnessed his authority over creation. And this won't be the only time that they see this, will it? Now, if you think back to earlier, the great windstorm, then there was the great calm. And we could see the wind and the waves might be calm. But what about the disciples now? Jesus gives them a little review, just a little one, after failing the test. Verse 40, "But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?'" What if Jesus said that to you? That would hurt. Things aren't going well. You start to doubt just a little bit. To say things you wish you wouldn't have said. Do you not care? And he says, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Jesus said, "Let's get to the other side." How many of us have read this, the Word of God, and in the end, he wins, and we are with him. We're with him. And yet we still doubt. We still doubt he's going to take us through the storm. They didn't believe he would take them there. You know, when you read the story, when you read this story, and you hear sermons on this text, I know we've heard sermons on this before. Usually the application of the sermon is if Jesus can calm the storms in nature, then he can sure calm the storms of our lives. And that, of course, is true. We have no doubt that. We should not doubt that. But that's not how our text ends. If that's where the story ended, we would be okay. But we kept going, didn't we? It doesn't end like it should. Verse 41 with me. "And they feared exceedingly." and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" You know, that's the third great in our text. You can't see it in the English, but that word there, exceedingly, is the same word for great. In the Greek, it's megas, where we get mega, gigantic, huge, great. The storm was great. He calmed the great, or the great was calm, and now they fear greatly. See, Mark is trying to make a point here for us. Some translations have in this verse, they were terrified. Of what? What are they scared of right now? Remember earlier, verse 36. "Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was." They had no idea who he was. They had no idea who was in the boat with them. They may have thought they knew. We get to verse 41, and they feared. They were terrified. Who can this be? Beloved, who can this be? Do you know? I hope you do. He's the Son of God. Every storm, every test, every trial in this life is another chance for us to see the glory of our King. Everyone. If you get to the end of a test, if you get to the end of a trial, and you don't love the Lord more, there is a problem. He says he's going to lead. Are you going to follow? It's another chance for us to see the power of Christ in our lives. And we don't want to be in these storms, of course. We don't want to be in these trials. We hate them. It kills us inside. But at the end, we know who's leading, who got us safely to the other side. And it is this same Jesus who's with us, who leads us, who's going to invite us to have a meal with him this morning. How awesome is that? Where are you at this morning? We're all going through storms. Some of us are going through some pretty bad ones. Are we crying out, "Where are you, Jesus?" Or do we know what he said? Hey, let's go to the other side. Who's leading? Jesus is. Are we going to get there? Yeah. How awesome is that? Because, beloved, if we know who leads and who tests, will we make it to the end? What a beautiful sight we're going to see. The glory of the King. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, you know, Lord, we come to these stories, and we've heard these stories many, many, many times. And we know that you're King. We know that you're the Lord. But just sometimes, there's just that little inkling of doubt. And we do cry out, "Do you even care?" Father God, forgive us. Forgive us. Lord, give us the strength to keep our focus on Jesus no matter how big the waves are, no matter how strong that wind is. Just have a lock on our Lord. Help us to remember his words. In this life, you will have tribulation, but take courage. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Help us to hold on to those words. In these huge storms of life, the Lord said, "Let's go to the other side." Give us the strength to believe that, to hold on to that, to love the Lord of glory. That's the truth. Lord, Hear our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray.